The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Bend the Knee is brought to you by Sir Taylor the Smith.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra the Watchful. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into chapter 48, John 6 of A Game of Thrones. And in Fire and Blood we are discussing birth, death, and betrayal under King Jaehaerys the First.
And also, Sir Ezra, yeah. In A Feast of Ice and Fire, we will be discussing medieval apple cakes.
Yeah.
So, luckily I noticed that it's right at the beginning of the chapter. Oh, yeah, this is in the cookbook. So stay tuned for that reread.
Wow, I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming. Oh, wow. So, yeah, we got three books we're into today. And we are fired up, by the way. I just want everyone to know. Like, sincerely.
And blood.
Yeah. The blood's boiling right now, yeah.
Yeah.
In a good way. We've got an awesome show for you today. We're going to spend a significant amount of time in Small Council and in Fire and Blood and in the cookbook. So.
Yep. And in the cookbook, yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget, at the top of the show, I'd like to mention that send those ravens to btkcast@gmail.com. Raven's Nest will be back here soon, so we would like to get a few more theories and ravens generated. We have several. They've slowed down a bit, so if you've been holding back and you're kind of like, the guys have enough ravens, we need you to send us one. All right, so send those to btkcast@gmail.com. We don't care how crazy it is. We'll talk it over with our bannermen and discuss it in depth. So,
Absolutely.
All right, first, let's jump into Small Council. Sir Matt, how you doing?
Man, I'm good. Got off work, rushed home. I know, sir, you know, that we have the time difference. I knew Sir Ezra was staying up late so we could record. We are recording ahead of schedule this week. Normally we record on Sundays, post on Monday. This week we are recording on a late Thursday eve. It's about 7:12 for me, so that means it's 10 for you. So that Sir Ezra and I can have Super Bowl Sunday, not off,
right.
But just to, so we can watch the television, not for the game, but for the Game of Thrones Season 8 trailer, which I am 99% sure is going to happen, so we can immediately jump right onto our computers, record, and have an additional show for you. So,
what if it doesn't happen? You know, what are we going to do?
I guess just keep waiting until they drop it. Yeah,
that sucks. Well,
it's nothing we're not used to. I mean, you know,
wait,
just like the cold winds are outside.
Yeah.
You know, there's some polar vortex going on out there, but unfortunately, I don't think that's contributing to the book Winds of Winter.
No.
So probably still waiting a bit on it.
Hey, man, can I say something, though, real quick about Winds of Winter? I really.
No.
Please, let
nope.
me.
Come, okay.
Sir Matt,
yeah,
come on.
I guess.
No kidding. So I was listening the other day to another podcast, and I'm going to bring them up here in just a second, but they were discussing some of the stuff that Gurr has gone through with Winds of Winter, you know, and like in sort of how I forget the article, and I literally just thought of it when you brought it up there, but just how tough it's been for him to write it with the show, like the pressure is really piling on. Like
right.
I think it was an article where he really showed this human side of himself, where it's easier to write Fire and Blood, it's easier to write Dunk and Egg, you know, but can his books live up to the hype that has been, you know, the HBO TV series? It's a lot to ask, you know. So
yeah,
I know that's crazy to say, but listening to, I actually read the article when they had plugged it on another show, and it was kind of fascinating. So I'll see if I can track that down for you guys. Just something to think about, you know, because I mean, we love this series, you know, we love Gurr, and we want him to, you know, just relax if we can. I mean, what do we need to do? Do I need to show up there with, like, a bottle of, you know, what's he like to drink, Sir Matt, you know? And just help him get comfortable, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody figure that out. What's he like to drink? We'll send him a bottle, see if we can get him, you know, just nice and relaxed to finish up wins. So
yeah, I'm ready for it. I think actually I'm not. Actually, right now I'm quite thankful that Winds of Winter isn't out. You know,
it's, there you go.
Because with the show coming back on our end, it would be quite stressful trying to get all that content out. So
right
now he'll probably release it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Yeah. He'll screw us over. Yeah. No, that's whenever he does will be perfect timing, and it'll be great when it comes out. So I'm not in. I've always said from back in the day, years ago, I said, let him finish. Leave him alone. Let the guy finish. Let him take as long as he needs because he is a master writer and he's doing a wonderful job. So, all right. Well, okay, let's hey, I am actually, yeah, that polar vortex has got to me. I've been holed up here just doing work on the channel, and so I got a couple of channel updates, if that's okay, Sir Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yo, no. Sir Ezra, can you go right ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to take this away here. First of all, we want to welcome all of our new listeners. We know we've been getting more and more folks in here, so if you've been listening for a while and you're wondering how to support the podcast, head over to patreon.com/bendtheknee to see how you can get involved. And yes, I am looking for a squire. Go check it out. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to the channel updates here. Radio Westeros, hosted by Yoke Boy and Lady Gwynnifer. I'm going to tell you guys something. So I decided, I was looking at some of the cons that are coming up that Sir Matt and I would like to attend, and actually are planning on attending. I just recently bought us some tickets for Ice and Fire Con, which mm-hmm. which is in our home state this year. It was last year, too, and we just didn't get a chance to make it. We are going to go there and meet some of these just awesome folks, you know, people who have been podcasting about Westeros and what have you for a long time. So, yeah, just really looking forward to that. One second here. Can you hear that, Sir Matt? Did you hear what I just heard? Are you
no.
hearing like a buzzing? Okay, cool. It's just me.
Nope.
Well, it must okay, be. Yeah. It's sorry. It's the others over here, man. I'm getting plagued by, you know, I don't even know what. Anyway,
technical difficulties. It happens sometimes.
I have no idea. It was like literally the old gods and the new were fighting in my ear right there for a second. I'm sorry. It was weird. So anyways, no, Radio Westeros, I reached out to a couple different podcasts and I was talking to Lady Gwyn, and I just wanted to kind of plug them. When you're done listening, actually, really we decided to do this as we get closer to the show and folks are looking for, hey, you've heard Sir Matt and I talk about episode 1, season 8. Well, when you're done there with that on Monday and Tuesday, because you should consume it like crazy, then you should go check out someone else, listen to their thoughts there, and then come back to us and so on. So we've reached out to a few folks and we've asked, we may be gracing, well, we may have Lady Gwyn on if she's willing, or, you know,
yeah.
Others. Just talk, you know, theories and kind of collaborate a little bit more. So get to know more of those other folks in the community. So I reached out to several podcasts. I've heard back from two, and I believe I'll hear back from more. So I just wanted to kind of get the ball rolling there. Great folks. And I've heard them on other podcasts. They already are collaborating there. And so it should be great. We're going to meet them at Ice and Fire Con, which is in what? I think it's April, right?
Sometime? April. Yeah. It's when the show is back.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah. It's like the second or third week of the show, I think. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that'll be kind of cool to be down there. Just, you know, celebrating and get, you know, it's on the weekend. So we'll be probably have a watch party. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
There. So, yeah. Anyways, that'll be cool. Dragon Con is also August 29th through September 2nd. I think this, I've never been, Sir Matt, and I want to go. So.
Me too.
I am.
It's time, you know, I've put down the fork.
Yep.
You know. And
come on.
Picked up the sword, you know, unlike Rhaegar who put down the book.
Right.
Now it's time to start going to some of these conventions.
Yeah, it is. I'm ready to go. So, and we know some of you guys go to those conventions as well. And so we've got cosplayers who listen and what have you. So, we'd love to meet mm-hmm. you guys and do some meetups there. So speaking of collaborations, all right, mm-hmm. this is what I've been building up to here. Okay. I know, guys, I'm just going to say this. This is just kind of a tease. I'm not going to tell you everything about this. There is more to come on this front. But in these last couple of days, as I've been reaching out to folks, I am super motivated. And it dawned on me, okay? I know why Rhaegar did what he did. I understand. I understand 100% why he did what he did. I get it, man. I understand it now, okay? Like, and I'll go into more of that later. All I'm going to say is we are collaborating with more folks, and we have some Daenerys cosplay, you know, that may be coming your way. We've got a good collaboration. We may have a guest on the show here in weeks to come. So if you get a chance, all I'm going to say is just Young Mallory. Go.
Okay.
Go look her up, and she's wonderful. Actually, we've been communicating with her, and we have some fun stuff planned with her, and we're gonna, you know, get there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we've been reaching out to a lot of people in the Game of Thrones community, a lot of people who do like cosplay, fan art, right. all of that kind of stuff to just kind of bring more people into the community and kind of showcase a lot of the other stuff. But I know on the A Song of Ice and Fire Reddit, they do like Fan Art Friday, and I always think that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stuff like that. And we have I'm blanking on her name. I want to say it's Allison. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I follow she's one of our followers on Instagram. I posted something of hers. Yeah. On the group. She's from Texas. I can pull it up here, but really nice girl. And you know, that's the thing. Especially like if you are kind of like one of our followers, listeners, and you do like Game of Thrones art or cosplay or whatever, one of our new patrons has had I'm blanking on his name. He's a blacksmith as well. He's not Sam the Hammer, but he's one of our new a new guy, blacksmith, and he said he's gonna be doing some work, some like steel workings and stuff like that. And then we had the guys who sent us the song we've used as an outro a couple times.
Oh, Sir Taylor. You're talking about Sir Taylor.
Yeah, Sir Taylor. Then we have some people who sent us the outro we've used a couple times and stuff like that. So if you are in the community and you do any of that kind of stuff, Lady Sarah Ruth in our Facebook group has been posting a lot of stuff from the cookbook.
Yes.
I know other people have as well. I know people who have like traveled to see the set. Remember Lady Jade sent us something
where
she was like at a location on the set. So if you do that kind of stuff and you want us to, we're like more than glad to share it, help promote it. Mm-hmm. Any of that stuff, because we're all about building the community. So
yeah. Just hit us up and we'll be more than happy to get that going, you know. So another quick thing I want to mention is that we are probably gonna have around 2 to 3 musings a month going into the show, and that's just we did one for free, which was just sort of Sir Matt and I talking as he was on the King's Road on the way home. Fun little chat. And we've got more of those, so they can take the form of super serious, as in we're going to break down some of what we're thinking about going into our Green Dream episodes, or they could also just be behind the scenes stuff. So check those out. They're nice condensed mini podcasts. They're on Patreon there, so we should be good there.
Absolutely.
So you have the new Green Dreams episode coming up, or is it out? It should be out, I guess.
Yes. So when this post, it should be out or out the following day.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So we'll have that updated. The first Green Dreams there will be ready to go. And I planned on we have so many of those lined up that I thought by the end of February we'd get another one, or maybe middle of February get another one of those going for you guys too. So look forward to that. Lots of stuff. We're really ramping up things there. Sir Matt, okay. do we mention this last bit here, this that I have highlighted? Did we talk about this, or was that just on the
let me see here,
the t-shirts?
Did we talk about that?
I think that was just on the musing, wasn't it? I don't think we actually talked about that.
Yeah, and we posted in the group. Yeah, so I don't think we talked about it on the
We've done so much episode. The last couple of days. I can't remember.
Yeah,
what we've
it's
done.
It's and we're kind of ahead right now. But anyway, actually, I think we did. Anyway, so
another plug for it. Yeah.
We'll plug it again just because I'm not entirely sure. A lot of people asked us, and I know we post this in the Facebook, on the Instagram and the Facebook page and stuff like that. People have been asking us for kind of like merchandise and stuff like that. And so we made kind of a Tee Public store. You can go there and you can buy, like, we took some of the sigils and stuff that we've had created for us, and you can buy a shirt if you want. Mm-hmm. Or I think you can buy some other things too, like a
phone case.
It just it uploads like a bunch of different stuff, so you can get like a mouse pad or something if you want. But I mean, t-shirts is what I expect most people want. And we had mentioned this before, and we mentioned it on the post I know we set out about if you are a patron, don't worry, you are still getting a special edition shirt. So
yep.
You are still getting something special. I know we had one of our patrons kind of ask us about that. I was like, wait, isn't this a shirt mm-hmm. I'm already getting? No, these are different. So but if you want to, you can go there. We have links on our Facebook page. I guess we could probably post a link to it as well in the podcast description, as we have. If you want to do that, you can, because we've had a lot of people ask us and say, hey, we want to support the show. And we're like, okay, cool. So yeah. Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, all right, cool. I just want to make sure we mentioned that. And yeah, so sorry, a little longer small council today, but we just wanted to get through all the updates because we are excited and we are pumped and we're jacked and we're glad that you guys are here. Mm-hmm. All right, my friend, Maester Study, you know, it's time to head there. So yeah. This week we are discussing, we're in Fire and Blood, Birth, Death, and Betrayal under King Jaehaerys the First. And
yeah,
it's a long,
should I, it is, this is kind of a long, a kind of a longer chapter. But I'll go ahead and I'll read kind of the first, intro here. Jaehaerys I Targaryen would prove to be a restless king, to be as restless a king as ever set the Iron Throne. Aegon the Conqueror had famously said that the small folk needed to see their kings and queens from time to time so they might lay their griefs and grievances before them. I mean for them to see me, Jaehaerys declared. When announcing his first royal progress late in 51 AC, many more were to follow in the years and decades to come. During the course of his long reign, Jaehaerys would spend more days and nights guesting with one lord or another or hoarding audience in some market town or village than at Dragonstone and the Red Keep combined. As oft as not, Allison was with him, her silvery dragon soaring beside his great beast of burnished bronze.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he's taken a page out of Aegon the Conqueror's book, saying that, mm-hmm. You know, the realm needs to see their king, so that's a smart move. One of the, basically throughout the next several chapters, as it said, you know, the next several decades, or I'm sorry, the next several years, he, you know, goes on these royal progresses quite a bit, you know, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
it almost, it's kind of funny, it almost seems like, there are several, the first several, like he goes on them and then, Queen Alysanne is pregnant and cannot go, you know, this first one though, she does try to go. And when she goes, I think they're headed to, they arrive in Maidenpool. And what's neat about these is that he's just going to a region. So he might go to, he and the queen might go to, for example, the Riverlands and stay there and visit that region for a time. So they're not really just going around the entire, they're this year, hey, we're going here. Next year, we'll go to the north. Next year, we'll go to the Vale. You know, that type of thing. So just a little bit different. But when they first go to Maidenpool, Queen Alysanne is pregnant. You know, she's got their,
right.
She's pregnant with their first child there. And, you know, that's a blessing. It's all good. But they get there. She wanted to bathe in Jonquil's pool. And it's just this, you know, this healing pool, I guess I would say, right, Sir Matt? Let's see if I can.
Right.
Let's see. So, okay, here. Jonquil's pool. She's there. There are some septas that were there with her. She and her ladies go in. The Kingsguard kind of stand outside. And, you know, there's a great illustration in the book, actually, of what's going on. Turn is, if you're in page, let's see, it's page 200 of Fire and Blood, just a solid photo. And it's her and her ladies in there getting attacked by these three septas, you know, who
yeah.
draw daggers because they think she is carrying an abomination. You know, they still believe that,
right.
you know, that brother should not marry sister, you know, et cetera. And they have a child. They thought that she would kind of pollute their pool there. And so she's not.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
That was going to say, well, you know, what do you think? Like,
no, apparently in Game of Thrones world, you know, it's okay if you're a Targaryen, and yeah. that's kind of it. But so they're wrong in this case because they're Targaryens, so they shouldn't
exactly.
attack them.
That's right. The what is it? The doctrine of exceptionality or whatever exceptionalism, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
so, anyways, but yeah, so what that kind of brings up is that, like, you know, the queen goes places where the king cannot go. You know, the men cannot go in there with her. They do rush in once they hear the voices and the screaming. They're able to kind of, you know, put some of these women down. I think one of her handmaidens might have lost her life here. So anyways, Sir Joffrey Doggett and Sir Giles Morrigan rushed into the entrance of the bathhouse, never dreaming that the danger would lurk within. The Kingsguard made short work of the attackers, slaying two of the hand, slaying two out of hand whilst keeping the third alive for questioning. When encouraged, she revealed that half a dozen others of their order had helped plan the attack whilst lacking the courage to wield a blade. Lord Mouton hanged the guilty and might have hanged the innocent as well, save for Queen Alysanne's intervention. So Jaehaerys is furious. He's upset and, you know, decides, they're ready to like make an example of all these women, you know, just to kind of show that this is unacceptable. And they have their preachers, right? There's seven preachers out there preaching about this, the doctrine of exceptionalism and why the Targaryens are different. But apparently that's not sinking in with everybody. That's not, you know, not catching like they want it to in this situation. But the queen realizes that she needs her own protection, right? Because she's in these places where the knights or the Kingsguard cannot go. So she says, "I need protection of my own," she told her his grace. "Your seven leal men are valiant, but they are men. There are places men cannot go. The king could not disagree. A raven flew to Duskendale that very night, commanding the new Lord Darkland to send to court his bastard half-sister, Jonquil Dark." And I think we brought her up earlier. She's the mystery knight who was known as the Serpent in Scarlet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so revealed to be a woman there. So, this is one of the, when we did our original initial review, this is one of those parts that I found pretty interesting. Just because she is a woman and she's renowned. She shows up as a mystery knight and, you know, the kingdom knows of her prowess. So, yeah, she's sent for to kind of guard Queen Alysanne. And she does a great job and she takes it super serious and, you know, is with her for a long time. So, all right. Now, Sir Matt and I were talking before we started this chapter. Every 2 to 3 paragraphs, it's jumping to a new thing, a new topic, mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
So then, not long after Jaehaerys and Alysanne returned from Maidenpool, the queen took to her bedchambers. This tidings of the most wondrous and unexpected sort came from Storm's End. So Queen Alysanne is resting up there. You know, again, she's with child, and this is not good for her pregnancy. But they learn that Alysa is with a child, you know. So she's gone back with Rhaegar Baratheon, and,
right.
You know, she's there at Storm's End. So, Matt, she's 44, something like that, Sir Matt?
Yeah, she's in her 40s at this time when she gets pregnant again. Yeah, and this is Game of Thrones time, so you know it's kind of like if you think back to like Roman days where 40 is getting older.
Right. So we're worried about her. You know, I mean, because she's had 6 children up to this point, and this will be her 7th maybe. So they're just worried that she can't carry the child all the way to term and you know, what have you. But we find out that she does, actually. And so she gives Lord Rhaegar a son. So all good, right? And so we'll leave that there. But mm-hmm. they definitely are concerned about her having any more children. You know, that's good enough. Rhaegar, be happy. You have your son. So, okay, let's see. So now, right after that, though, Queen Alysanne, who was attacked, goes back and she has her child. So around the same, you know, time or whatever. And unfortunately for Queen Alysanne, her child dies. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. That's where Aegon, she has a boy named Aegon. And he dies like 3 days after his birth.
Right. Yeah, so she's super upset and just, you know, is not able to handle it, kind of goes into a depression as one would for a while, and it's just, you know, upset. So, okay, let's move on here a little bit further. This is a good, okay, so when they're having their first child there, right, there's Princess Arya is the heir apparent, right, is the next in line. This is Rhaena's daughter who's been in King's Landing Rhaena, by the way, the more I read about Rhaena Targaryen, I'm out, Sir Matt. I am just out on her. You know, what do you, she's just not very nice. I don't like her.
Well, you know, I mean.
Okay. Here comes the true Targaryen, the defender of all Targaryens.
It's true. You know, I mean, I mean, unfortunately for Rhaena Targaryen, you know, she was a black bride. You know, it's like her life has not been pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Okay.
She had to suffer Maegor the Cruel. I don't blame her for being kind of a hard, you know, woman.
All right. All right. Well, all right. Well, we'll see if I can change your mind here in just a little bit. but so she's reunited with her daughter, Arya, and that doesn't go very well. Her daughter is not fond of her mother, doesn't really know her. I actually think she kind of harbors this bitterness and resentment because her mother, you know, just flew off to Fair Isle with the Farmans and, you know, stayed there. And she grew up in King's Landing. She grew up, you know, being doted on because she is the, you know, she's the princess. She's the next in line. And so gets a lot of good attention. And you can see why going back to Dragonstone with her mother is not the same. It's not going to be fun. It doesn't seem like a, you know, something that she wants. Because, so anyways, Rhaenyra does kind of, that's the one thing that she wanted from Jaehaerys, and Jaehaerys is sort of like, yeah, absolutely, I'm not going to keep you from your daughter. But it causes a lot of issues, and we'll get back to that later, but it's one of those things that Rhaenyra just wanted to kind of possess people, too, just to have them, you know? And
right. And, yeah, she's kind of a power monger.
Yeah. Which is surprising because, like, it seemed like when they first got back after, you know, Maegor the Cruel, it's like she could have made more of a case, I feel like, you know, to sit the Iron Throne, but really didn't. The lore, I mean, it was, I don't know, it was like she's this queen that was kind of passed over, you know, she could have been, but yet it was the, as you said, it was the Black Bride situation. It was all that, you know, stuff. And she was next in line with, you know, her first husband, her brother Aegon, and
right, yeah, yeah. I think
that some of that is you know some bitterness that she like right away she just didn't want. I call it like not wanting to be in the public eye because she just kind of gets away and wants to just maybe live a carefree type of lifestyle because it's been so stressful for those first you know several years. So I don't know. There's that. Okay. All that had been taken from her when her mother carried her off to Dragonstone against her wishes compared to, okay, all of that. So that stuff been in King's Landing, Arya is kind of upset with because that's been taken away from her. The island, so this being Dragonstone, was a dull place, sleepy and quiet. There were no girls of her own age in the castle, and Arya was not allowed to mingle with the daughters of the fisher folk in the village. So she's bored. You know, there's nothing going on there. The only person she did like, so let's go over it. By the way, we should remind folks that, like, Rhaena Targaryen has this court of people that she's kind of, she's queen in the West for a little while, and then, you know, she overstays her welcome on Fair Isle, and then Casterly Rock, she's ousted there. They really just want, people just want something from her, and she's tired of that, you know, wanting a dragon or wanting a good union. So she asks her brother, she gets Dragonstone. So she is there at Dragonstone, and but she takes her court with her. And so she has all these ladies around her that, you know, are kind of her personal, I don't know, her friends, you know. And, oh gosh, what's her name? Alyssa Farman, right, is her closest companion. She marries Andro Farman, but really, I don't even know. Like, I think it's even rumored, did she ever consummate the marriage? Like, they're just not really close at all. She more just did that to be close to Alyssa Farman. So anyways, Alyssa, though, is about the only one who greets Arya Targaryen and is kind to her, and she kind of gets along, kind of takes up with her, you know? So
right.
So yeah, that was kind of the only good thing there. Okay, so now back at the Red Keep. When Arya was there, she loved horses and hounds and what have you. She gets super close on Dragonstone to dragons. They became kind of her only friend, aside from Alyssa Farman. So she is, you know, enjoying that. Now, in 52 AC, King Jaehaerys decides to go on another on another progress, right? Over to
right.
The Vale of Arryn. And again, as I said, like the start of this, the theme is he decides to go on this progress and
his wife gets pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just what happens. I don't know. And she's really good about it, though. She wants, you know, him to.
Which really causes you to beg some questions.
Come on. What are
it's
they?
Like, is she pregnant before he leaves, or is it kind of like a milkman situation?
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny. I would hope not. I would hope not. That would be then the whole Targaryen line is just, you know, just a mess, you know, in that
right.
situation, which it kind of gets to be later on. So, but yeah, he heads to the Vale of Arryn in 52 AC. She decides to go, or she decides to send someone in her stead to hold those women's courts, I believe, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it kind of this goes into a little bit about this is a span over several chapters. Queen Alysanne's laws, which are essentially when she holds her women's court, she learns a lot from the women and kind of takes it back and is able to influence King Jaehaerys quite a bit. And help do away with these, you know, archaic type of laws that were like for example in this chapter they're talking about how if you were married to your husband but it was his second marriage and you like his kids from his original marriage, his first marriage, they might when their father dies they might kick out their stepmother, you know what I mean, and they might just right. throw her out on the street. Disinherit her, and that's, you know, there was no law protecting that person. So while the husband's alive, she's good, she's entitled to all these different incomes and estates and what have you, but after her husband dies, then the kids can just disinherit her if they're not like if that's not their true mother. And so that's one of those things that she learned in the court, and she went back to Jaehaerys and kind of like persuades him like, hey, we need to fix this. So some of that's a little dry, you know, and that's sort of what Sir Matt and I've talked about. That bit is a little dry. The taxes are kind of dry when they talk about that later on. But yeah, it just shows her influence and that's why she's the good Queen Alysanne. So
yeah.
Okay. Let's see now. Oh, one of the taxes while I'm on that, real quickly, what's his name? Rigo Draz, right? The Lord of Air
right.
is a former Pentashi master. Of well, he is master of
Yeah, we talked about him last week.
Yeah, I mean he's super filthy rich, and but he starts taxing everybody when they come into the city, and we talked about that also a little bit. We kind of jumped ahead and just how that is helping to fill up some of the treasury and you mm-hmm. know what have you. So all is well. People don't like him though, so there's some foreshadowing in this chapter. Just basically, he kind of flaunts his wealth and. Lives there in King's Landing, and the folks just don't like him, you know. So he's yeah. very, very disliked. And I can only imagine the Master of Coin is maybe often disliked. I don't know.
Oh, probably. I
yeah.
mean, you know,
yeah.
Anyone who's inflicting taxes is going to be.
Yeah, it's not going to be
you know.
well received.
Right.
So let's see.
Because I don't think they had tax returns, you know, in Westeros.
Yeah. By the way, don't forget, folks, it's tax season, so make sure you.
Yeah.
Keep on that, all right?
Do we get ours back? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how it works right now.
Yeah, not sure. Not sure.
I'm not sure at all.
So, okay. Another cool little tidbit here, and this is one of those things. I saw this chapter as, like, laying a lot of the seeds for what's going to, you know, come in the next chapter. They really just kind of start these threads, you know, Ger does, and then we'll get more of the some of the big action comes in the next chapter. Because, for example, Alyssa Farman, at one point when with Rhaena there on Dragonstone, she gets kind of upset and wants to leave. She longs to go home. She has ambitions to build this big, just a big ship. I don't know. Large vessel, a swift, meant to sail the Sunset Sea. And she asked Rhaena Targaryen for some coin to build that. And you know, Rhaena just says, I could not bear for you to leave me. But all Lady Alyssa heard was no. You know, and so she's given up a lot to travel with her and be her companion for, like over these years. And so she was asking just to, you know, help me, you know, build this ship, you know, let me sail around a little bit and enjoy life. And she says no. So that will come up later. And actually, there's a really cool connection to... Ashayi by the Shadow, you know, that connection of what happens when we sail west off of the coast of Westeros and you know, over the Sunset Sea. It's a kind of a really neat thing that happens later on. Kind of scary, actually. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the things that you know, Fire and Blood that Fire and Blood does that I didn't think we'd do. Like, remember when we read the preview way back in the day and we talked about Allison not being able to fly over the wall? Right. And so in my reading of Fire and Blood, I don't think we've ever really it doesn't seem like we really get any like kind of definitive answers.
Right.
And this may all be stuff we get in the prequel shows and stuff like that, where it kind of alludes to stuff that we'll figure out in season 8 in the books with the others and their history and stuff. But I do like that we get those little like kind of, you know, like flakes of information in Fire and Blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. There's just little tidbits that give us hints of Essos and what's going on there, what's happening in old
Valyria. How has that bigger kind of picture?
Yeah. Well, some of the things that we've thought or that we've theorized about, you know, Ger does kind of confirm a little bit. It gives a nod to you, but like you said, he also doesn't give a definitive nod. So
right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Again, like we said, this is a long chapter because we also have the birth of their first daughter, which was super, super cool. The princess there. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you know, dotes on her. Queen Alysanne starts stopping. You know, she stops going to the council, all that good stuff. The part that I want to focus on here, because there's so much, man. Okay,
There's a lot.
I'm going to stop like going through the text here. I'm just going to give you guys a couple big bullet points and discussion points here because I want to make sure we get through them all. Let's just finish talking about Rhaena Targaryen, okay? Because Andro Farman he's a mess because she just screws with this guy. This is her husband. You know, she makes fun of him, dude.
Right.
I mean, isn't that... Yeah. This is where you support her all you want. She treats this guy like garbage. And she took advantage of, you know, his family while she was on Fair Isle. I don't know. The listeners disagree with me, let me know. But this is where it just goes too far. She treats the Farmans like crap. And they took her in. They supported her, what have you. And, you know, he's talking about trying to help her with something, and she basically says, you know, that the wrong Farman ran away, you know, being his sister, Alyssa Farman, so, who I think she was maybe intimate with. I think the whole thing is that she's bisexual and what have you. So she has all of her ladies of her own court and really, you know, doesn't spend a lot of time with Andro. And Andro used to be kind of the strapping-looking, you know, fella, and then as he's gotten older, he's gotten a little soft, you know, but... He's still a good guy, and there's a lot to him, but she just, you know, just keeps him around as almost like a, I don't know, just to say that she is married. I don't know. So no one else can tell her who to marry. You know what I'm saying? Like Rhaegar was always trying to hook people up, or, you know, arrange marriages. Right. So, but anyways, so what happens with Andro Farman is nuts, man. So, like, they just, like, he's so upset. You know, at one point she has to fly back to see her mother, Alyssa, which we'll get to in a second as to what happens with her mother. And he offers to fly with her in or to ride on the dragon with her, and she says, you know, you know, what could you possibly do but fall off the dragon? You know, there's nothing you can do. You're just a joke. And it is super just kind of sad. Like, he just doesn't get any of that respect. Around this time, and I'm going to kind of just jump around and finish. I'm going to finish this Rhaena thought so we stay on it. Because the book jumps all over the place. It literally will leave us here.
It does.
And then it'll go on back to Daemon Valyrian, back to Queen Alysanne. So we're going to finish
it. It does. And And we'll let's finish and then we'll talk about some things that you and I were talking about before this about Fire and Blood in general.
Yeah, that's the idea. So Andro decides actually. So it's theorized that like Alyssa Farman she ends up leaving. So she actually at one point asked to leave Dragonstone and she sets sail for Essos and she's out of there. Right. A fortnight later, it's reported that 3 dragon eggs are missing from Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's talking, this has been well talked about on the Reddits and elsewhere, that these are probably the 3 dragon eggs that Daenerys gets in the main series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Could be. That's definitely like the absolute huge big takeaway from from this. Yeah, because I don't think it gives us information as to what the eggs looked like.
No, I don't think it did. Maybe it does in the next chapter, but I can't. This chapter, I know it doesn't.
Right.
It may in the next, but yeah, I don't think it does. They're just the three dragon eggs, and it's something. I mean, so she flies to Jaehaerys to let him know. It's such a big deal that she goes to King's Landing, flies on Dreamfire, and, you know, he basically says, I gave you Dragonstone, you know, and, like, your job is to protect the dragons there to you know, like, how? You brought this woman with you, and she's a thief, and she stole these, you know, dragon eggs. And so they send their secret spies into Pentos and Braavos and, you know, all over Essos there in the free cities, and they're trying to keep keep tabs. Listen for rumors of dragons, because they don't want another dragon lord, you know, to kind of crop up, which I understand, you know, why, you know, you wouldn't want somebody else to have a dragon, and who knows if they could even ride it or tame it, you know?
Right, yeah, and they don't want a dragon lord in the world that wasn't a Targaryen.
Right, exactly, yeah. So, anyways, that's pretty messed up. She actually accuses Andro Farman of helping his sister, or did you, whatever. They get in this big argument, and he denies it, whatever. But I think he did. I think he did. I think for a long time he's been upset, and I think even Alyssa might have been upset with the treatment of her brother and just her family in general. It doesn't say that, and that's just Sir Ezra speculating. But I would be a little upset with the treatment of, you know, like her brother and then her family. So she leaves. Andro helps, and what happens afterwards? It's just a mess. He poisons. He poisons the rest of her women's court, and it's described by Lord Rigo Draz as a weasel in the guts, dead in days. This is the tears of lice, or Lys, whatever. So it's something that we've heard about before. It's this poison that he uses and kills them all. I mean, he's first, they don't know it's him. You know, they have no idea. And after a while, I think one of the maesters shows up, or word gets back to her that her court is being poisoned. And this guy, you know, just he finally confesses to it. And, you know, she meets him in the painted the room of the painted table, and where he's always up there just kind of doing his own thing. And he basically, you know, calls her out. She goes in with some of her guards, and he kind of says, you know, like, I could have given you children. I could have given you all these different things. I could have helped you. I could have done whatever. You know, he goes, they thanked me when I gave them this drink with this poison. And, you know, he's just like, and they laughed at me at the same time while they drank it and died. Like, it's just nuts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, he clearly had a lot going on there. And it's just sort of a crazy situation where she's upset. He actually, she was going to, you know, she ends up feeding him to her dragon, but he's already dead. He jumps out the window and kind of takes his own life. So, wow, it's a mess, right? So that was one of the one of the bigger things there. Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about this Lady Alyssa and so this whole dragon egg big business, because I think this is the cool nugget to take away, right? So. And something I kind of thought about, hear me out, this could maybe a theory or something that I think could be cool. Yeah. So we know that that Daenerys has three dragon eggs that are super old and they're like stone. It's believed that Daenerys's eggs came from really far away, like a Ashai by the Shadow, right? Mm-hmm. That's where they're kind of probably believed that they probably came from.
Yeah.
And this Lady Alyssa, you know, she resurfaces in the story later on in Fire and Blood, once appearing far, in the west, kind of by, like, the Sunset Sea, and, like, once really far in the east, and, like, the ports of, like, Ashai by the Shadow.
Yep.
We don't really know whether she has those dragon eggs or not, but Ashai is, you know, where it's believed that Daenerys' eggs came from. So, what would be cool, and what would be a cool Winds of Winter tie-in with Fire and Blood... And we know Gurr does tie stuff in. If you read the Dunk and Egg series, there's tie-ins between Dunk and Egg and the main books. We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he, you know, has been kind of putting off Winds of Winter because he has some tie-ins he wanted to do with Fire and Blood. So something I could see, this is a total huge rabbit hole I'm going to go down.
All right,
here on
I Sinister, love it.
But, you know, let's do it. Would be something cool as if it was like Illyrio and maybe Varys who are looking for this maybe next Targaryen, you know, kind of claim to the throne. Mm-hmm. What if they had these three eggs and they tried them with like young Griff? Like they put young Griff in his thing as a baby, because you know it's still possible he would have been a baby, you know, if and so it didn't work or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, I'm just tossing out an idea, and so then here comes Daenerys, the real deal, and, you know, let's try this.
You present him to one, you know, or maybe they know something about, you know, young Griff that he's not a true Targaryen. Who knows what they know about him?
Yeah, or maybe they tried him with young Griff, and maybe young Griff is who he really is, and it didn't work, and so they say, well, if the son of Rhaegar doesn't work, so they just give them to Daenerys, thinking that they're like worthless.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, another
like
thing,
you know, maybe they're like maybe they've tried before or something. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's just the because I do think it would be super cool if this was connected.
Because the rumor that they come from, you know, far east.
There's three kind of logical things. One, it's these eggs, which would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's maybe some of the eggs from Summerhall. A lot of people believe that somehow some of the eggs at Summerhall got this is part of that big green dream I've been working on for Patreon for like months. I'm just trying to wrap my head around exactly how to put it pen and paper. I've started, yeah. But that some of the eggs at Summerhall, you know, there was like a blood ritual tried or something, you know, fire and blood. And that's kind of what caused them to turn from stone back maybe into regular eggs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that maybe some of the eggs from Summerhall are three that Daenerys now has, or, you mm-hmm. know, that turned into her dragons. And then I guess the other would just be their random ass eggs, you know, like
right.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But this, you know, these being Alyssa's eggs that she took over to Essos, she trades in for gold, you know, gets her Sun Chaser ship. Yeah, that could totally. I wonder,
because there's also real quick, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
there's also that is it's interesting because that's what Daenerys, you know, is kind of Daenerys chooses the other route, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Daenerys feels there's something going on with these eggs, and like, you know, you could sell these and essentially buy an army and retake Westeros,
right
like that's, and then her brother think is like, yeah, that's what I'll do, I'll sell these eggs,
right,
and get a ship and an army. Mm-hmm. And so turns out maybe, you know, selling them wasn't the army you needed, you know, because her dragons are really what you know, it gets her into Karth. It's really we haven't quite gotten there in the books. We're like right about there. Mm-hmm. But in the show, it's like her dragons that causes like the big, you know, Khalasar of all the other Khals to be mm-hmm. like, oh, no, she's the real deal, Khaleesi. You
right.
know, like,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what's interesting about what Alyssa Farman did versus what Daenerys does is that, like, okay, she goes by, when she gets to Pentos and Braavos or wherever, she actually ends up going by Alice Westhill. So we'll have to look up the Westhill name connections, if there's anything else there. But like, and she's building this ship called Sun Chaser is the idea. This massive ship that she can set sail, you know, across the Sunset Sea. But she only got one ship. And actually, Jaehaerys kind of says that, like, he knew that's what she... From Rhaena, knew that she wanted to build a ship, and he said with three dragon eggs she could buy a fleet of ships, you know.
Right.
So kind of either this is one sick ship, or she does actually have some gold left over, I think, in her in the Iron Bank. She entrusts that to the Iron Bank, so there's that. So I don't know. I'd like to maybe chase down and see if there's more theories on her and you know, her survival in Ashai and all that good stuff. You know, is she Quaithe? I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
could be,
you know, but yeah, you're right. It is one of the biggest, you know, takeaways is that three, okay, they actually, you know, there's a number on it, right? There's three dragon eggs that go there. And later on, is it Barth? I think goes over and tries to persuade them to give them back, you know, and tries to, they kind of know that they have them, but yet And he kind of like lays out these empty threats. Well, not empty threats, but threats, you know, without actually naming what the threat is. But yeah, they're having none of it. They just deny having them, and they keep them there in Pentos. So crazy, man. It's a crazy little connection. So she lives on, and we'll talk more about what happens with her voyage and her journey when she gets to Old Town. Some crazy stuff. Her passing by Reyna. They were super close, but miss each other. It's kind of interesting. But all right, just to wrap some of this up, because this is definitely it's amazing how much information is actually in these chapters, guys. It's so and
you right
know, how much you could tease out and kind of really really go nuts with it. But anyways, so after, you know, Alyssa Farman leaves and Andro Farman kills everybody, Queen Alison decides to go comfort her sister, but Reyna cannot. She wants nothing to do with her and basically says, you know, leave me alone, and just can't break through whatever's going on there. She turns to the princess Arya, and Arya wants nothing to do as well. She wants to just go back to King's Landing. So that is sort of laying a thread for this next chapter that we'll discuss, which is that Arya wants to leave. She is desperate to leave. She wants to get off of this island, and she's done. So in the chapter, another bit happens too, where the in Old Town, the High Septon dies, and they
right.
you know, so King Jaehaerys and Queen Alicent go because he was a good friend, a supporter of the crown, and they kind of finagle a few things with Hightower, and I'd say reconcile some of the differences that they have with the Hightowers, and are able to kind of put their own religious leader, you know, in there at the faith. And so they actually eventually the doctrine of exceptionality or exceptionalism, whatever it's called, is it's a go. You know, it's basically in there and we're good to go. So while he's there, though, the last bit to this chapter is basically they get word from, I think they're somewhere, I forget where they are at the very end of the chapter, but Reyna shows up on her dragon. They're getting ready for this big tournament. You know, they're celebrating the end of this year. It was the year of the stranger, by the way. And all these bad things were happening. People were dying. I totally also just glossed over the what happens to Queen Alyssa, which is that she died. So
yeah.
Again, there's so much. It's like,
this is a thick chapter.
It's crazy. Every single one of them is actually going to be huge. But Queen Alyssa dies giving birth to her second child, and there's this whole confrontation with Rogar and Rhaenys and all that kind of good stuff. It's nuts, and it's important, but you know, it's actually important because her second child there with Rogar becomes a big deal later on. So we'll get to her later. But to end this all, Arya has stolen Balerion, the dragon, and she has vanished, you know? And so we've actually gotten a couple ravens about this, just asking us where we think she went, where did she go, and you'll find out next chapter basically kind of what happens to her. So, and I think what we're going to have to do next chapter is just as big, and we're probably not going to hit all the points. We're going to just pull out some of these bigger chunks because it is the coolest part.
It's
is
a lot. It's
really
just,
what happens
so
to
much.
Her. Yeah. Any thoughts, Sir Matt, just real quick, you know, as to where, cause even next chapter, once we get there, we really can't necessarily answer the question.
Right. Yeah. No, it's good. To me, the big thing I pulled away is the eggs, the dragon eggs, the tie to possibly Daenerys. And even still, why is that important? You know, like why would they tease that out if there wasn't anything to it? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, in this chapter I'd say that's one of the biggest things. I want to just
also, I mean, it's more about Jaehaerys, right? It's more about the stuff he has to go through and the realm and a lot of the politics and stuff like going on like that, you know. And the similarities we see in the main series.
Well, here's the thing. I think one of the reasons why the Seven Kingdoms tolerates, air quote, they have dragons right now. That's why they tolerate the Targaryens, because, you know. But the reasons, there's not these uprisings here and there, because it kind of talks about from one generation to the next, they kind of forget what Aegon did or this king did.
You right.
Know, a new generation will come along, and they don't remember the horrors of the dragons, you know, burning fields
stuff. Yeah, and they just don't care, right? Like, they care about what's in front of them then and there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when you look at John Umber, right, and the Karstarks and stuff like that, when they crown Robb king in the north, they're like, what dragons?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we don't care about the dragons. Like, it was the dragons that we knelt to. Like, the dragons are gone.
Right.
So we can do whatever the hell we want. Like.
Right, yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's that type of mentality is the thing. I mean, think about in the main series, you know, when all the wars are going on, you know, it's like, well, we've got the king's colors now, you know, mm-hmm. like, whatever. Yeah. So we can do whatever we want, so.
Right. Well, and what I'm driving towards there, too, is that, like, Jaehaerys, the reason why I don't think anybody, you know, bucks him besides the dragons is because of, as you said, it's more about Jaehaerys and about him building the roads, you know, creating new taxes, changing laws, right? He actually creates a kingdom that's set up for, you know, his successors that's really good. You know, if you don't have this long reign, this 55-year reign where he really changes things and he actually reforms sort of the Seven Kingdoms. So, you know, you're like, oh, hey, things are better with these guys in charge. Yeah, actually, we can, you know, cross. There are better roads. There are, you know, even the Night's Watch is getting taken care of. You know what I mean? So it's like there's quite a bit there that that he does. That's what's in front of them, though. As you said, what's in front of them is, hey, this is pretty good, you know, and it's
right.
Better than what we used to have. So, you know, there's all of that. But the last thing I want to say, hopefully we'll get some ravens on this, Arya, I believe, vanished and went to Valyria. I believe Balerion took her back there. It's the only place he would know to go. He was the last, creature alive that had seen it in its prime, that knew what it was like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the old dragon there. So I believe he takes her there, and we will talk about why I think that and why a lot of folks think that when we get into next chapter. So it's actually one of the coolest parts to Fire and Blood. So besides the dragon eggs, it's one of the better parts. So stay tuned for that. All right. Yeah. So I think we're good there on the Maester's Study. Again, a little longer, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
We want to get it in, and I wish we had time to go in more depth there. But let's move on to the reread, Sir Matt.
All right. This week we are in John 6. This is one of my favorite chapters, like, in general, in the entire series.
Yeah.
But last week we were in Eddard 13. Ned had learned that Robert had been mortally wounded by a boar. In his will, he had declared Ned his regent. Afterwards, Renly urged Ned to seize the royal children to secure his power. Ned refused. Ned wrote a letter offering the throne to Stannis Baratheon, the true king of the Seven Kingdoms. That's my little plug-in right there. As the rightful heir, reconsidering his need for men, Ned declares his intentions to Littlefinger and asks him to arrange the support of the City Watch. All right, last time we were John, Sir Alistair had announced that he is passing 8 recruits, including John. There's a celebration, but John realized that Sam would not survive without the others to protect him. John asked Maester Aemon to allow Sam to become his steward since he can read, write, and do sums.
Mm-hmm.
This week, John is disgusted to learn that he will be a steward, not a ranger. Sam convinces John that being the Lord Commander's steward is actually an honor meant to groom him for command. John and Sam are taken to the Godswood beyond the wall to say their vows before the old gods. After they have taken their vows, Ghost returns with a human hand in his jaws.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good chapter, actually.
I'm gonna read the first the first little passage here, which if you join me in a world in a feast of ice and fire, you can turn to the apple cakes section because it starts the same way. John was breaking his fast on apple cakes and blood sausages when Samwell Tarly plopped himself down on the bench. I've been summoned to the Sept, Sam said in an excited whisper. They're passing me out of training. I'm to be made a brother with the rest of you. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. Yeah.
So real quick here, I do just want to talk about these medieval kind of apple cakes here that I have in the World of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, what are they?
So they're basically it's kind of cool. And actually, I'm going to do a little plug for a Feast of Ice and Fire here. Excuse me. It's actually a really cool cookbook. I've been wanting to do more out of it. We've done a couple and on the Patreon, but I want to do more. I just haven't had the chance to, unfortunately. And you and I have tried a couple of these things. Man, mm-hmm. The onion, we did the onions and gravy one.
Oh, yeah.
That one is, and the chicken and stuff like that was really good.
So good.
The ice berries and sweet cream. And we've had some people post stuff. But these apple cakes, and I just love that this book exists. It's almost like, so they have medieval recipes and stuff.
Yeah.
And they pull from, they have like what would be, probably is closer to what they're eating in the show, right, or in the books. And it's based on actual like medieval recipes. Like this one is based off some German recipe from 1350.
Oh, wow.
And I can't read the original text because it's in German. And unfortunately, you know, I don't speak German, so I'm not going to offend anyone.
Okay.
But called a Krampfen. In Germany.
Okay.
It's basically kind of like a fluffy, it's kind of like a fluffy dough. And inside is you kind of like stuff apples. Different than kind of what we would see today. The cool thing about the cookbook is then they give you modern versions of a lot of these recipes. So if you just want to kind of do it.
Yeah.
Whereas you think of kind of like an apple cake today would be kind of like maybe more of like a muffin, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously they don't have sheet pans and stuff like that to cook this stuff on back in the day. So it's kind of cool. I think almost more of like a jelly donut, except it's not a jelly inside. It's more of kind of like just like kind of apples kind of just like stuffed in.
Is it like a whole apple or is it like they cut up the apple and they stuff them in there?
I mean, just I can only look at the picture that they have.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's kind of like they kind of cut the apple up and kind of like stuff it in.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah, think kind of like a donut. Think kind of like a donut, except I don't know if it's you know, since they take some apples that they dice and core, and then they use some honey and stuff like that. So if you ever had, you know, like apple pie filling, which is freaking delicious in general.
Yeah.
Put down the fork, Sir Matt. But so it's kind of like that, that kind of filling there. So.
Wow, man. I mean, they're eating good is what you're saying up there, you know?
Yeah, you know, you and I had some other stuff from the wall. They have it broken up into sections in this book. And, man, a lot of this stuff actually looks pretty freaking tasty, so.
Right. What is it?
And the rest of the book, just real quick as I finish up here, it gives you stuff based upon, like, regions. And so it's kind of cool. You have stuff like what they would eat in King's Landing and the North and, like, the Westerlands, and then you get to like Dorne and they're like cooking like snake and stuff like that. It's honey spiced locusts. That sounds quite tasty. And
I just looked this up. So the second thing there is, so the apple cakes and blood sausage, that's
we've had blood sausage.
It's
when
different.
We were hanging out with some of our other podcasting friends. Yeah,
right. It's really different, isn't it? It's just, it's kind of a
it is
a British English type of thing, and it's like this dried, it's like sausage filled with blood, or you know, I don't even know. It was actually kind of bizarre, but
We had it. We were at kind of a party, and we had had it, and it was okay. It wasn't my thing. It tastes like I'm not big on sausage in general, like even like breakfast. Kind of sausage, I just don't like it. But it was much closer to like a breakfast kind of sausage.
Yeah,
and I think it's kind of supposed to be kind of not like burnt, but just kind of like more well done.
Yeah, it's often called blood pudding in the UK there. So I don't know, it's just different. So it's a weird combo though, right? You know, the apple cakes and then blood sausage. I feel like maybe that's a great combo. I don't know.
Yeah,
it just sounds odd to me. All right. Well, yeah. So, the guys were celebrating. Now Sam can he can kind of celebrate, right?
You know? Right.
So he now gets to, become one of them, you know, go out and take his vows, with the other guys who he's been training with. And that gives John some comfort because, he wasn't going to be able to protect, you know, Sam anymore. If he doesn't move up with them, then, you know, he's out of luck. So, He's lucky though. I mean, he gets with Maester Aemon because he can write and he can do all those sorts of good things, which is awesome. So he's supposed to assist Maester Aemon with the library and the birds. And he needs somebody who can read and write letters. Sounds like Sam.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right. Where else do we go here? So they head down to the Sept, right?
Right. So yeah. Well, yeah. So they kind of they head down to the Sept. So let's talk about, like, there's a great crystal that kind of catches the morning light. No one dares kind of say a word. So it is kind of funny. They see Sam there, right? Like Pip and Gran and Toad. Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay.
Like, all
right, Sam's in.
Yeah.
And so then they kind of, I like this. This is one of my favorite chapters. Lord Commander Mormont stands up and says, "You came to us outlaws, poachers, rapers, debtors, killers, and thieves. You came to us children. You came to us alone, in chains, with neither friends nor honor. You came to us rich. You came to us poor. Some of you bear the names of proud houses. Others have only bastard names or no names at all. It makes no matter. All of that is past now. On the wall, we are all one house."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, then they talk about what's going to happen. "At evenfall, as the sun sets, we face the gathering night. You shall take your vows. From that moment, you will be a sworn brother of the Night's Watch. Your crimes will be washed away, your debts forgiven. So, too, must you wash away your former loyalties, put aside your grudges, forget old wrongs and old ones alike. Here you begin anew. A man of the Night's Watch lives his life for the realm, not for a king, nor a lord, nor the honor of his house or that house. For gold or glory or a woman's love, but for the realm." Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on. This whole chapter, every sentence. I'm just like, yeah, this is awesome.
Oh, man. It is great. This is why when I hear the old bear talk about this, it makes me think that back in the day when this order was first formed, I would imagine that for several generations after it was formed, it was one of those things where, like, it was the most... like, they watched on the wall, and it was super serious. You know what I mean? I can imagine, like, hundreds of thousands of people up at the wall keeping you know, eyes out for this enemy that just almost wiped them out, you know? I don't know. It's such a huge, powerful thing, and I love that this is sort of what struck George when he was, you know, there in England. What was it, Hadrian's Wall or whatever it was called? Is that something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just so epic to think. I like to think back and think that this was such a huge, like, look at all the keeps that they have. I mean, how many keeps do they have up there? And it's just like they all were manned and garrisoned and, you know, standing on the wall, like, just watching, guarding the realm, man. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, then it says, "You've learned the words of the vow. Think carefully before you say them. For once you have taken the black, there is no turning back."
Yeah.
The penalty for desertion is death.
Right.
So then they go on to, and they say, you know, "If anyone wants to leave, go now. We won't think any less of you." No one moves. And then he says, "You may take your vows here at evenfall before Septon calendar and the first of the order." And then they say, do any of you keep the old gods?" John stood. "I do, my lord."
Right.
He says, I expect you will want to say your words before a heart treat as your uncle did." Mm-hmm. So they say there's a heart tree just a little north of the wall, and so it's pretty interesting too. And so, you know, as they go on about that, Samwell Tarly stands up and says, "The fat boy wiped his sweaty palms."
Yeah,
there we go, sweat.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
brought, you know, my eye go as well. And I do like this where he talks about does this happen in the show as well? I can't remember.
I don't think it does.
I know he goes north, but I can't remember if he asks him about. I think he does. Mm-hmm. He talks about how the new gods never really answered any of his prayers, so perhaps the old ones.
Oh, yeah, maybe he does say that. Yeah.
Which is good. This is some character building for Sam, mm-hmm. as we get it. So then they talk about the order that they're getting placed in, right? So, you know, have rangers, stewards, and builders,
right?
And so, you know, a lot of people get stuff. Gren to the Rangers. Pip Pip to the Rangers, mm-hmm. Sam to the stewards, Mather to the Rangers, Darren to the stewards, John to the stewards. And this is where John has a big internal monologue.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really say anything until after kind of, you know, Mormont leaves and Alistair Thorne kind of gives him like a big smirk on his face. Yeah.
Right. Kind of like it was a slight. Right.
Yeah. But I can't see how Alistair Thorne would think, like, I get it, he's annoying him right now, but, like, Alistair Thorne has to be a smart enough guy to know in the long run this is bad for him. Because, like, you're totally grooming the next Lord Commander.
Yeah, what's crazy is, I don't know, like, I think...
And Alistair Thorne's not, like, a young guy. So it's not like you're likely to become Lord Commander before Jon Snow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, he would have been right. Maybe one of the next. You know, if John.
Yeah, I mean, if Mormont died like right now, I would imagine Alistair Thorne would probably be the easy pick.
Well,
but
yeah, I think.
Yeah, if John were a Ranger, he'd be more likely to die.
Yeah, and also, I mean, here's the thing: if John wouldn't have, you know, if he would have played Alistair Thorne's game, you know, and just sort of like not resisted him and shown all this defiance. He would have been a first ranger, and he would have just fallen in line. It would have been whatever. Like, he would have been a gruff, mean old guy, but, like, Alistair Thorne wouldn't have this vendetta, this weird, you know, kind of fix it. You know, I don't know. So also makes me think, does Alistair Thorne know something that, you know, that he shouldn't know?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know, because Alistair Thorne dies, you know, and so it's not like – or no, does he die in the books?
Alistair Thorne?
No, he doesn't. He's away.
Yeah, he's away, yeah.
Yeah, so he's still alive in the books. So there's definitely still something that could come out of it.
Oh, yeah, people have theorized a lot about, you know, just whether he, if the whole, you know, John being
a Targaryen.
Right, yeah, because he was a Targaryen supporter, all that, you know, good stuff. Would that affect some of his, just the way that he sees him or views him?
Yep.
So then
John gets kind of upset. John looks around in disbelief and he says, first we find out that, you know, hey, Sam gets to assist Maester Aemon. So he kind of gets his wish, which is great for Sam.
Right.
And then, you know, John kind of is like, and doesn't he say, do you take me for a servant? No.
Yeah. I mean, at one point is he talking to Bowen Marsh about it? And, Bowen Marsh is the Lord.
Right here. And then Bowen Marsh turns to John. He says, Lord Commander Mormont has requested you for his personal steward, John. You'll sleep in a cell beneath his chamber in the Lord Commander's tower. And what will my duties be? John asks sharply. Will I serve the Lord Commander's meals, help him fasten his clothes, fetch him hot water in his bath? Certainly, Marsh frowned at John's tone, and you will run his messages. You know,
attend his meetings.
Then he says, do you take me for a servant? No, Maester Aemon says. We took you for a man of the Night's Watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, but perhaps we were wrong in that.
Yeah. Well, and what's crazy is that it actually takes Sam to kind of show him, you know, because Sam was the heir, you know, supposed to be, you know, like his father was taking him to his council meetings, meeting with his guards and stuff like that. Like he was grooming him for... you know, the takeover for the succession, and he ends up like he gets replaced by his younger brother. Samwell kind of knows what this is all about, you know what I mean? And it takes him kind of persuading John to, like, you know, understand that, hey, you're going to be next in line. And that's what they see so much in you that you're, you know, Lord Mormont personally, you know, requested you. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I still don't see how I like, again, I'm just thinking more about Alistair Thorne. It's like, also, if he's Lord Commander Mormont's personal, like, thing, like, that's, like think, like, 5 years in the future, right? Like, you know, he and Lord Commander Mormont are, like, best buds. So, you know, like.
Yeah, you're right.
Just right now, he's still, like, a young guy. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't get Sir. I still don't know enough about Sir Alistair Thorne to see his.
He doesn't like the fact. I mean, he doesn't like that he is where he's at, and he also doesn't like that he's being, you know, being told what to do by a bastard. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or being outwitted or being whatever, you know, type of thing. So, and also, I kind of think Sir Alistair Thorne knows what's happening here by him going to the stewards. Maybe he recommended for him to go to the stewards, and then, yeah. you know, the old bear is like, well, then he'll be my personal, you know, steward.
Right.
Right. Is maybe what happened. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so then John gets kind of upset, saying, you know, he wants to shame me.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, Darren says the stewards are fine for the likes of you and me, Sam, but not for Lord Snow. And John's like, I'm a better swordsman and a better rider than any of you. It's not fair. Fair, Darren sneezes. He's like, that girl was waiting for me naked as the day she was born. She pulled me through the window. You
right.
know? And that's true. I mean, you know, some it of is, these guys, yeah. and like, that's what Tyrion says as kind of a like lesson to John. And this is, you know, John's character is always that kind of, you know, I think we forget sometimes that, you know, these are young guys, you know, they're learning, you know, they're going through lessons of life. You know, everybody, all the characters do. I mean, even Eddard Stark is learning how to play the Game of Thrones.
Right.
It's all character progression is their chapters.
Right.
And then Sam's really the one who kind of speaks reason to him. He's like, you're going to be with him day and night. You're going to pour his wine. Yeah, but you'll also be arranging his meetings, squire for him in battle. You'll be as close to him as his shadow. Like Lord Steward said, Morma asked for you himself. Like, he wants to groom you to be Lord Commander. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just like I was saying, you know, like where he goes on, that's where he goes on to say that, you know, Randall Tarly was grooming him to be Lord of Horn Hill. And,
yeah.
you know, and it finally figures out that he's, that's not the son he wants to take over. And so, you know, then his brother Dickon was the one who, you know, was showing more vigor and kind of takes over. So, yeah. you know, and then John recalls Rob being allowed to go with his father, you know, to all of his little, you know, council sessions and to learn and to sit by his side and, you know, all that kind of
right.
stuff to groom him, to get him ready to lead. And so
yeah.
he finally comes to like, okay, yeah, I see it, you know. So, all right, let's see. Where do we go to next here, Sir Matt? We're heading out to the Grove there.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a little bit more, but basically, I mean, there's not a lot more in this chapter. So yeah, so they head out to the Grove. I think the show does a really good version of this scene as well.
Yeah.
They go out at night. They go, you know, they go and find a weirwood tree. Gone. John takes a ghost with him, and you know, they enter the Grove. Samuel Tarly turns, and there's some weirwood trees there, right?
Yeah, I have this one line here that I wanted to kind of read. It says, once they had entered the forest, they were in a different world, you know?
Yeah.
And it really is. I mean, it's like this very strange place that they're in, and it's just, there's a different, I don't know, to be beyond that barrier is just sort of kind of, we were there in the prologue, and it was terrifying.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now we're going back there again to take our vows in front of this weirwood tree. It's just nuts, man. So, yeah, when they entered the Grove, Samwell Tarly turned slowly, looked they looked at each other, you know, face in turn. No two were quite alike. They're watching us, he whispered, the old gods, as you just said there. So,
yeah, so the vows. So something to notice, there is a difference. The show does cut out one set of lines here. It cuts out the I am the fire that burns against the cold, the light that brings the dawn, the horn that wakes the sleepers.
Hear my words and bear witness to my vow. Night gathers, and now my watch begins. It shall not end until my death. I shall take no wife, hold no lands, father no children. I shall wear no crowns and win no glory. I shall live and die at my post. I am the sword in the darkness. I am the watcher on the walls. I am the shield that guards from the realm of men. I pledge my life and honor to the Night's Watch for this night and all the nights to come.
Yeneltas, boys, rise now as men of the Night's Watch.
So yeah, the show cuts that out, which is interesting. A lot of people say the horn that wakes the sleepers, that could have a tie in to, you know, Winds of Winter, the horn of Joramon, or you know, the horn of winter, the whole deal. Right. People have theorized about that. So then I really like this line that comes afterwards. You knelt as boys, rise now as men of the Night's Watch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It is great.
Yeah. And suddenly Ghost was back, stalking softly between two weirwoods. White fur and red eyes, John realized. Like the trees.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great connection. And
Bloodraven was born that way. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he was.
And he was also born with two. He was born with two eyes, and he loses one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just it's interesting.
It is.
The wolf had something in his eyes. What's he got there? And it's a hand.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's fantastic. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a cool, you know, chapter where we get to kind of see them say their words and hear them say their words. It's something, you know, Sam often refers back to, you've said the words. He says it clear up and through a feast. He says it all the time.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Yeah. He's reminding everybody, you said the words, you know, clear up until the end of Dance of Dragons. And it's important. And it's actually kind of like, it's funny that once Sam leaves John, you know, that reminder is gone. And so, you know, Sam is out reminding his other brother, Darren, when they're in, gosh, Braavos, you know, you said the words. And that reminder leaves, and then John ends up, you know, we know what happens there. So, all right, on to send a raven. You can send those ravens to btkcast@gmail.com. This week we have Lady Shannon, who sent us a raven. Just kind of a follow-up to our Illyrio child connection, young Griff situation. So she says, dear sirs, I just listened to the most recent episode of The Read-Through. Upon doing some research, there is actually some evidence to support the theory that young Griff could be the child of Illyrio. In A World of Ice and Fire, it's stated that a lot of the Lyseni population had Valyrian characteristics. Pale skin, silver gold hair, purple lilac blue eyes. And, you know, the Free Cities, you talk about some of the, well, it was actually just in this past Fire and Blood chapter, they were talking about being a mongrel and being a mixed, you know, group of people, the slaves, and then also some of the Valyrians who maybe did escape that we don't know about. So anyways, yeah, kind of a cool tidbit there. In Tyrion 2 of A Dance of Dragons, Illyrio talks about his wife, Sarah, who worked in the Lyseni Pillow House. She's the one who Illyrio has a portrait of in a locket, with golden silver hair and blue eyes. The Lyseni do still have some blood of old Valyria, so young Griff could be Sarah and Illyrio's child, even if he does have purple eyes. Let's see. And also she goes on to make the point that there are cases of Targaryens having blue eyes. Queen Alysanne, for example, was the child of a Targaryen and Valyrian and had blue eyes. It's likely unrelated, but there are even some people of Dorne who have purple eyes as well. Without the Valyrian blood, Ashara Dane is known for her violet eyes. Very true. Yes. There are so many possibilities. It's almost, it almost seems too easy for young Griff to simply be Aegon Targaryen. Yeah. It does. There's right. We have no idea on that front. You know, there is a lot of hinting, one way or the other, but you know, it could be Illyrio's child, could be Aegon's child, could be a Blackfyre descendant. We just don't know, you know, and it's kind of cool.
Could be, as I said the other day, you know, young Griff is, you know, could be Rhaegar's kid.
Yeah.
So I staunchly disagree.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm joking, man. I'm joking. No. Yeah. I mean, it's what Tyrion brings up the point that, you know, his eyes, you know, he has that kind of blue eyes is because
the hair.
He says they look blue because you've dyed your hair. Is it because you're trying to hide, you know, purple eyes?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is it? We don't know. We have to. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah, and there's other exactly. And as she brings up, Ashara Dane also has violet eyes. So yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean he is. It just means that some of those characteristics he may possess. So right. Yeah, and I get it. The idea that it's too easy, it's like is R plus L equals J too easy, or is it just is it too easy now because
I think that's what some people have said.
I think it's just that the books have taken so long. Like if he had put these out like his original plan, I think you would have been surprised when he got to the end. It's just that they've taken so long that everyone's picked apart every single possible thing.
Yeah.
From it, but there's still so many mysteries. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's cool. Thank you, Lady Shannon, for that. We were kind of last week just, trying to figure out. We had gotten the Raven and we wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit. Maybe this is something we can kind of circle back to in Raven's Nest once if you guys want to gather your thoughts on that and discuss Young Griff a little bit more. I am all for it. I love talking about him and the connections, that we may make to either the histories or to other folks in Westeros. So
yeah,
all right, let's move on here to Man the Wall. I just want to give a quick shout out to our bannermen. Each and every week we want to thank these folks for supporting us on our Patreon. That is Lord Jason of House Ross, Lord Hunter the Foulmouth, Lady Amanda of House Richardson, Lord Adam the Young Bull of House Parker, Sir Peter of House Whittingham, the Ghost of Harrenhal, and Sir Quentin. So thank you to you guys. Always a pleasure. They also are in our Raven's Nest, so we talk to them, every other month we're going to be talking to them in Raven's Nest, discussing some of these theories in Ravens, as we move along here. So, and this week, Sir Matt, we actually had someone reach out to us, and we don't advertise this much anymore. It's just basically it's upon request, really, if you'd like a knighting ceremony. And so we did have someone, step forward and decide that they wanted to be knighted. And, Sir Matt, it takes a knight to make a knight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It does.
So, yes, it does. Do you want to do the honors here or would you like me or?
No, I'll let you do it. I hooked him up with some stuff as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And the thing, guys, one thing you probably noticed is that, Sir Matt is super careful in who he knights. All right, he's not just passing them out like candy. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Taylor, in the name of the warrior, I charge you to be brave. In the name of the father, I charge you to be just. In the name of the mother, I charge you to defend the young and innocent. In the name of the maid, I charge you to protect all women. In the name of the smith, I charge you to mend the broken. In the name of the crone, I charge you to seek wisdom. In the name of the stranger, I charge you to face death with sword in hand. Rise, Sir Taylor, the smith.
Yeah.
it's so much fun. So great. So yeah, this episode was actually brought to you by Sir Taylor. We appreciate all your support there, and we've got some fun stuff on Patreon, so we really would love for you guys to go enjoy that. We've got the collaboration piece coming up as well, where we'll be kind of discussing some theories and thoughts with other folks, and again, when you get a chance, when you're done listening to us, head over to Radio Westeros and check out Yoke Boy and Lady Gwyn and give them a listen. So
yeah,
alright.
Well, Sir Ezra, I think this has been a pretty solid episode here. We want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing Chapter 49, Eddard 14.
Yeah. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, or leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com.
We will see you in a week, unless there is a Super Bowl Game of Thrones trailer, in which case we will probably have seen you before this episode, but after we record. But
yeah,
as always, be sure to remember that winter is coming.